Check, check. There we go. Awesome. Father, you are amazing. From our classes to my machine shop visits, to our Awana classes, to the deacon meetings, to the private sweeping and the vacuuming in the hallways nobody sees, for some people serving here, for those grinding away at jobs that don't necessarily feel like they have any real connection to your purpose. God, you're in everything we're doing. To the preaching, to the lonely days at home with no visitors, to the long hours, God, you are our satisfaction. And we thank you and we praise you for your word. Let your word dwell richly in us, Lord. Change our hearts, renew our minds, so that we can walk joyfully in truth. And help us to have a focus on you like we haven't had before. Help us to choose joy more and more. And help us to be contagious for your glory. With salty words and salty action. So we love you, God, and we thank you for another Sunday where we can have a family reunion like this, to rejoice like this. Give us a heart for each other and for the lost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hello, welcome to another Sunday. Let's get started with our announcements. We've got a lot to announce, but I'd like to start off with just acknowledging an awesome journey that the Fagleys have been undertaking. David and Carolyn Fagley, 50th anniversary, is that right? That's right. Now my wife and I, we're catching up. We got 6 years under our belts. We're experienced too. No, I'm kidding. That's amazing, okay? So congratulations, really. Next deacons meeting, we're going to be having a Wednesday, March 20th, just to announce that. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Men's wiffle ball, age 16 and up. Join us in the gym on Tuesday, March 26th and April 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Knock that winter rust off and get ready for spring. And see Ralph Balcom or give him a call if you have some questions about that. It's going to be pretty cool. We're starting up the softball season. It's going to be right around the corner, coming up soon. So I encourage you to knock off that rust. For me, I don't know what I'm doing on the field. I don't even know what wiffle ball is, and I hardly understand softball. So there's a part of me that's kind of wishing we could play basketball forever. But, hey, you know, it'd be a good opportunity for me to be humbled and to give you guys something to laugh about. All right. The annual Guess Who is to Coming to Dinner. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? April 12th or 13th, we're encouraging people to sign up. I looked back there. I saw people were signing up. Thank you for signing up. It's awesome to see hosts and people who are hoping to be guests. Make sure that you understand the difference and that you have, just go, I encourage you, if you sign up, double check that you indeed are a guest and your host, and I'll be following up with you pretty soon here, okay? Also, Easter 2019, some information here about preparation for that, especially with 8,000 eggs, and they're hoping for people to volunteer in that capacity and to clean up. And so please see Chad Kilburn or Krista Asher, and then sign-up sheets to volunteer are in the back there at the Welcome Center also. The LIC Annual Mother, Daughter, and Friends Tea, we've mentioned that a few times, coming up May 4th. So check out the information back there. They need, now this actually changed a little bit here. It says that they need men for to assist. This year it says, we will feed you. Wow, look at this. We will feed you and you can fellowship with the other men in the youth room. They're going to put us away somewhere. Look at that. You fellowship with the other men in the youth room while the tea is happening in exchange for breaking down the event. And notice that they said, break the event down, not you break it down. Okay, so just making some distinctions there when it's over. So anyways, that's cleanup. Thank you. Yeah. Don't come kicking in there in the middle of tea time, okay? All right. Murder Mystery, Annual Youth Murder Mystery Dinner. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. May 11th at 6 p.m. More information coming soon, okay? Annual Adult VBS, May 15th, 16th, and 17th. More information coming soon for that. Graduation Sunday, May 19th. We'll be recognizing students who are graduating this year. The Detroit Tigers home plate, we've announced that a little bit, and I'd encourage you to go ahead and read that. We've announced that before. VBS coming July 7th through July 11th. We will begin on Sunday night this year. Dinner served starting Monday night. We are in need of volunteers this year to decorate, set up, and execute. If interested, please sign up in the Welcome Center or see Angie Layton for further information, okay? Youth Mission Trip. This is a big deal right here, everybody. July 14th through July 20th. More information to come soon, so we'll be praying about that because that's some life-changing type stuff right there. Ladies Bible Study, that's continuing. The adult youth group, a young adult group, they're not meeting tonight, okay? So that's an important message. They are not meeting tonight. No young adult group tonight. And then we made a little mention for it. Batter Up, it's that time of year again for men's softball. And if you're interested in playing this season, please sign up at the Welcome Center. More details are to follow, okay? Men's basketball, of course, continuing on Mondays. And then we're still having men's prayer breakfast on Tuesdays, 8:30 a.m. here at the church in the gym. And food is provided. And it's better than McDonald's. It's way better than McDonald's. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Shout out to Sister Cheryl, okay? And food pantry, help others in need. See Krista Asher or Lynn Anderson. So I just want to remind you all, this is so cool. We've been studying a whole lot about opportunities to serve. We've been studying loads about being salty. And I encourage you to take an opportunity to serve. And, I mean, that's a laundry list right there, isn't it? It's a major list of things we can be doing. So you might have things you're doing that I don't know about. I don't want you, because sometimes I come up here and I say, you got to go to those young adult groups. Come on, get in the small groups. And it's almost like this pressure, and I don't want you to be like, oh, man, well, let's just go so Brother Carl can shut up. Right? I feel like he's looking right at me every time. And I am. Right? But I just, I don't want to urge you so you're just kind of like doing this thing and conforming to this culture that we're having where you're kind of like these do-gooders to look good. But I want to challenge you, if indeed there is a real God, and if God has been manifested to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who you claim as your own and claim to be his own, going to leave that Thaddeus. But if that's your God, oh, yeah, I follow him. I worship him as a king and priest. You have two duties, to praise him with your lips and to do good. And we're called to do good to all men, but especially unto the house of faith. So can I encourage you, as you're having a heart-to-heart with Jesus right now, privately, I can't see it. Thaddeus can't see it. Deacons can't see it. Wife, mama, daddy, uncle, auntie, cousin can't see it. But the Lord sees your heart, and it's between you and him. Are you being salty? Are you worshiping him? Or is your heart far from him, and you're just doing a whole lot of this? Ask him to change you. He will, and your life is just going to be richer and fuller than you could ever possibly imagine, with deeds of darkness that lead to nothing but more darkness and death, and rather be used by God to bring life and healing to others and to magnify his name in a beautiful way you can't do in your own strength or power. And your joy will be full. That's what God promises us in John 15, that we would love each other in this fashion, and our joy will be full. Okay, so a challenge to you, and then we're going to pray. I'd encourage you, just pray with somebody today. Tell them Jesus loves you. Pray with them. And then we'll probably have worship begin. That'll interrupt you. And then we'll hear exhortation from our brother Thaddeus and pastor. Okay? Good. Father God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your truth. We love you. Help us. As the disciples came to you, as they struggled to heal a young man who was demon-possessed, they're all embarrassed, and the Lord Jesus does it without any difficulty, of course, because he's God, your son. And they said, why couldn't we heal that boy? And he says, it's because of your unbelief. And Lord, it's so interesting that the very father of that boy had the same issue, unbelief. And his cry was, help my unbelief. So, Lord, for us who are here to be ministers, representing you, we got a lot of junk in the way, Lord, and we ask you to clear it out of the way. Help our unbelief and help us to be powerhouses of faith, walking in obedience, trusting you. We thank you, God, for loving us. Help us to love you and to love others as you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, pray for somebody, please. Thank you.
As you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with When Death Was Arrested. To be near.
when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given again. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Release from my chains.
Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was rescued. Washes over me.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we are humbled by your majesty. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace, and that you freely gave it, because we couldn't have earned it, no matter what we did. Father, we just pray this morning as pastor's coming again, the Lord, that you just pour your spirit out on him, just use him in a mighty way this morning, Father. We just pray that our hearts are ready for the message that you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek.
This time we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philemon. Philemon. You ever have an encounter with God where you just feel like you get wrecked? Anybody? You just feel like, man, you just get boom, knocked down in a good way. So let me ask you this. When's the last time you actually got on your knees before God? Not just, yeah, I prayed, I bowed my head. When's the last time you actually got on your knees before God and prayed? You know, kings, when you enter into the presence of a king, people fall on their knees out of fear. And because we are friends with God, because he's told us to boldly enter the throne room of grace, I think we become very casual. And we lose the reverence. Some of you are going, yeah, if I got on my knees, I'd never get up again. So when's the last time you bowed your heart? Truly bowed your heart? You know, as Jenna was singing that song, when you fall in the room, we fall on our knees. When you move us to tears. As I read the book of Philemon, this is a book that's wrecked me. I was going to do a whole series on it, and God's like, nah, you can't do it justice. So these are salty people, three salty people in this book. This is an incredible book. So turn to the book of Philemon. There's only one chapter, so I can't go too long, right? There was a linguistics professor. He was lecturing in class one day, and he said, in English, a double negative forms a positive. In some languages, though, such as Russian, a double negative is still a negative. However, there is no language where a double positive can form a negative. And from the back of the room, there is a loud voice. Yeah, right. All right, some of you didn't get that. Sorry. Get online, re-listen to it, think it over. All right, Philemon's 1:1. Let's read this here together. All right, let me just tell another one because I just feel like I blew that. Brenda and Terry were going out for an evening, just out of the house, and the last thing that they did before they left was put the cat out. A taxi arrived at their house, and as the couple walked out of the house, the cat got back in. So Terry turned around to chase the cat back out. Brenda didn't want anybody to know that they were leaving the house empty, and so she said to the taxi driver, "My husband is just going upstairs to say goodbye to my mother." Several minutes later, an exhausted Terry arrived, climbing back into the taxi cab. He said, "Sorry I took so long. The stupid idiot was hiding under the bed, and I had to poke her with a coat hanger to get her to come out." Philemon 1:1. I'll explain it to you later, Scott. Philemon 1:1, and we're going to read the entire passage, but let's just read verses 1 through 7 to start. It says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother." Let's pray. Lord, bless your word in our hearts and lives. I pray that we would understand this book, that we would understand the main three people in this book, what role each had to play. And God, each one of us here plays one of these roles. And I pray that every single one of us would take our role, embrace it, and be obedient to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul tells Philemon here, he basically, in other words, says, you are one salty guy. You and Apphia, your wife, you see, he addresses there. We don't usually get the wives' names. It's pretty cool here. Philemon's wife was Apphia. And they held the church of Colossae in their house. So when you read through the book of Colossians, it's the church that's meeting in Philemon's house. And he mentions there, too, Archippus. Archippus is the pastor of the church in that house. And basically, as Paul speaks to them, as he writes this letter, he's letting them know, you're doing a good job. In Colossians 4:17, you don't need to turn there, but in Colossians 4:17, it says, "Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord." And so if you like to do what I do, by his name Archippus in my Bible, I wrote Colossians 4:17 because it lets me know that Archippus is the pastor of the church at Colossae. And so it just reminds me about that. So this church, not just this church, but especially the leadership of the church, they had shown great evidence of their faith and love of Jesus for all the saints, especially to the saints in Colossae. They brought joy and comfort to Paul. They were hospitable and generous. So then in verse 8, he kind of gets into why he's writing this letter. He says, wherefore though, I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you to that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to you unprofitable, but now to you and to me. Paul begins by saying, listen, I'm not going to force anything upon you. I want you to agree with me in this. But he references himself as Paul the aged. He wants Philemon to remember, Paul was the one who led Philemon to Jesus Christ. And so now Paul is speaking to him on behalf of another person. He's speaking to him on behalf of Onesimus. Onesimus used to be a slave of Philemon's. And Onesimus, when he ran away, he stole from Philemon. In Colossians 4:9, it says, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. So here's what we have. We have this slave, Onesimus. Now, how did he become a slave? Well, there were basic ways that people became a slave during that time. Either your family became indentured as servants or slaves because they could not afford to live. And so the only way that they could afford life was to basically sell themselves over to be a slave. That way they had food and they had a place to stay and they had a living. Okay? But now they were owned by that person. Another way that they would become a slave, maybe this is the case of Onesimus, young people whose parents died or kicked them out because they couldn't afford to keep them, sometimes they would bond themselves over to someone who was wealthy, and so they would become a bond servant where they would work in exchange for lodging and food. And many times it was for a specified period of time. Sometimes it was indefinite. And sometimes it was just, I got no other prospects. I'm yours. So here's what we know about Onesimus. He, in one way or another, was bonded, sometimes through debt. Somebody would accumulate a lot of debt. And they would say, hey, pay my debt off, and then I'll work for you until you feel like I've paid off my debt to you. And so sometimes they would do that. So Onesimus, as a young man, lived in Philemon's house, and he was indebted in service to Philemon. And being indebted in service to Philemon, he also was responsible to fulfill all of his commitments. Instead, he runs away. And before he runs away, Onesimus steals. We don't know what he stole. We don't know how much. Paul doesn't even know how much. But he steals. And he leaves. Throughout the course of time, we don't know exactly what happened. You can guess. There's books that have been written on this. Paul is in prison in Rome. He meets Onesimus. I just wonder if Onesimus got in more trouble. Maybe stole from somebody else and got thrown in prison in Rome. And he sees Paul and he goes, hey, didn't you used to go visit my master? And Paul recognizes him and says, oh, yeah, you were with Philemon. And they strike up a conversation and Paul leads Onesimus to the Lord. And Onesimus gets saved. He's not held for his crime in prison. He's released. He's free. But he stays around Paul and he serves Paul. And one day Paul comes to him and says, "Hey, Onesimus, you owe a debt. I know it was all before you were saved, but you owe a debt. You need to go back home." Now, the penalties under Roman law for a runaway slave were beatings and possibly death. But Paul knows Philemon. The church meets at Philemon's house, right? So if he should be able to trust to send Onesimus back, it should be to Philemon's house. I wonder, though, how many of us, if we were wronged in the same way and we had the same authority as Philemon, that we would punish or bring harm to the Onesimus in our life. So let's keep reading here. Oh, I got to tell one more thing before we keep reading. Onesimus, when he returns to Philemon, he actually carries two letters with him. When you read the end of the book of Colossians, it tells us that this was written by Onesimus. Not that he was the author. He was the one who, he was the scribe. So as Paul talked in his chains in prison, Onesimus wrote the words down. And Colossae, that's his home church. So he's carrying with him a letter back to his home church. What's interesting is, as Onesimus carries this letter, he's also carrying another letter to his master, Philemon. So he's got two big letters that he's carrying. And both of them are the only hope of grace that he has. Because when he gets back home, as soon as he walks into Colossae, he might get arrested. He will definitely be dragged before Philemon. He's got a letter to hand to the church. Church, this is how you should treat me. And then he's got a letter to Philemon. Philemon, here's what Paul wants from you. The first letter is a tremendous letter, the book to the Colossians, about the glory and work of Jesus Christ. In this letter, Paul reaches out to the entire church. They all knew Onesimus. He was the thieving, runaway slave. And Paul encourages the church that Onesimus is a faithful and beloved brother. Tell you what, when some people leave us for sin, whatever else, and when they come back, sometimes we don't treat them as faithful and beloved. Sometimes we want to dole out punishment. We want to, well, we don't think that they've paid enough. Now, I'm sure the church at Colossae struggled with the same thing. And here's what Paul does. When Paul writes to them in Colossians 4:9, he refers to Onesimus as one of you. He's part of your body. You can no more tear your toenail off and try to live without that pain than you could to continue to have Onesimus away from you. He's one of you. He's not a slave. He's not a servant. He's one of you. See, a person is a person. A Christian is a Christian. A brother or a sister is just that. And we cannot identify people by their shortcomings, by their wrongdoings. We need to see them in Jesus Christ. And if we refuse to see them in Jesus Christ, we are in sin, not them. It's us. And that's what he puts on the church at Colossae. This is on you. This isn't on Onesimus. It's on you. Bring him back. Receive him. He's one of you. Now, Onesimus, his return could have caused a rift in the church. The people in the church, they weren't wronged. Only Philemon was wronged. Only one person was wronged. But the whole church could have been like, "Oh man, I got my issues with you." They don't even have a right to an opinion. There's one opinion, really, in all the church that really should have meant anything, and that was Philemon. So Paul has this preemptive plan. he makes this plea. He says, he is one of you. Treat him as a brother. Paul does not engage in allowing them to choose sides. He tells them there is one side, and this is the entire book of Colossians. Read it. There's only one side. It's the side of Jesus Christ. You're either on the side of Jesus Christ or you're not. So in Colossians 4:6, Paul encourages the entire church with this. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. We have a salty man telling a church to be salty. So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know what? Every person that we come into contact with within our body, we're going to have some Onesimuses, right? Maybe some of you out there, you're like, that's me. I'm an Onesimus. And you know what God is saying this morning? He's saying, my will is to welcome you back. And maybe you're out there today and you're a Philemon. All right? You've been wronged. And you have every right to feel wronged because you've been wronged directly. God's going to deal with you in just a second. Here's what Paul tells the church. He's one of you. So now here's what he says to Philemon. The only one who has a legitimate beef, a reason to really be upset, and possibly not want to accept Onesimus back. He says, you've lost a valuable asset when Onesimus ran away. He wasn't profitable to you because he stole from you and he ran away. Now he is. The letter to the Colossians also contains a thought that was specifically written to Philemon. It's in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So before Philemon reads the book written to him, the letter written to him, Philemon, he reads with the rest of the church to the Colossians, and when he hears that word masters, he's going, oh, Paul, what you doing, man? You're tampering with my life. Does that ever happen to you? Does that ever happen when God's word is brought to you? You're like, man, get off my toes. I got to wear steel boots when I read the word because God's stepping all over them. And see, this is exactly, but Paul, he gets to the point in front of the whole church. Masters. Philemon. Right? Be just and equitable. So let's go back to the letter that is written directly to Philemon. Look at verse 12. He's talked about Onesimus. He wasn't profitable. Now he is. He says, whom I have sent again, you need to receive him. That is my own bowels. Or you need to receive him because this man has my heart. This man is my heart. Paul is asking here for a mature believer to act in a mature way. Receive him. In Colossians 1:28, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And he uses this word, every man, every man, every man, in the first chapter, the first part of his letter to the Colossians, because he's saying, you know what? Every single person needs to be presented complete in Christ. All of you. And the guy delivering the letter is at the front of the line that needed to be presented complete in Jesus Christ. In Romans 14:1. In Romans 14:1, it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive him. Not to doubtful disputations, but receive the weak. When did it become that Christianity was a devour your weak? Right? Oh my goodness, do you know the sins that that person has? Why are we devouring the weak? What are we supposed to do? Lift up the weak. The feeble-minded, 1 Thessalonians tells us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the law of Christ. This is the will of God right here. Those who sin and fall, receive them back. And if you won't, you know what's going to happen someday? You're going to fall with the same thing, and you're going to wish others would receive you back. Unfortunately, what happens? We reap what we sow. So, verse 13 in Philemon 1. Whom I would have retained with me, that in your stead he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul's saying, he's useful to me. I'd love to keep him here with me. But without your mind would I do nothing, that your benefit should not be as it were a necessity, but willingly. He says, I couldn't keep him without your consent. I didn't want you to feel forced to take him back, but I want you to take him back willingly. Verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you should receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Paul says, listen, he left you as a servant. I want to return him to you as a brother. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Whew, that's tough right there. Paul says, Philemon, if you really consider me partners in the gospel ministry, then you need to receive him just like you would receive me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. He makes Onesimus stop writing right here, and he writes, put it on my account. I will repay it, albeit I do not say unto you how you owe unto me even your own self. Besides, all right, Paul's really slick here. He says, if you believe he still owes you for what he stole, put it on my account. I'll repay it. I want to remind you that you owe me everything. Because I share the gospel with you and you got saved. Right? Man, I see so much humor in that. That's so good. Verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. He says, refresh my faith in our relationship. I need you to refresh my faith in our relationship. How can he do that? Receive Onesimus back. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote unto you, knowing that you will also do more than I say. I believe you will do even more, because I think that he won't just be received back. I think he'll be a brother. I think you'll give him a job, not as a servant, but as an equal. I think you'll receive him back into the church. Not as an outcast, but as someone who is profitable, loved by God. Verse 22, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. Get a room ready. I'm coming. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. Don't have time to talk about him, or Marcus, or Aristarchus, or Demas, or Lucas, or any of their fellow laborers. That Lucas there, that's Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, wrote the book of Acts. Verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. This story is one of grace over law. It's one of mercy over retribution, kindness over rightness. This is a volatile situation. A runaway thief, servant, slave is returning to his master's home where the church meets. Paul is preemptive in sending this letter in the hand of Onesimus. So beside the extraordinary message of Christ, Paul makes an ask of the church that a man who had been wronged would be the one to make it right. What a great picture of Jesus. Paul asks of Philemon here to be the picture of Jesus. Onesimus wronged you, brother. And so I'm going to ask you to be like Jesus. And you allow yourself to be wronged. And you promote that man to a position of honor and grace. Let's talk about these three salty people real quick. First salty person is Philemon. He is the mature believer who was wronged, asked to be the bigger man. I had this happen in my life one time. Someone wronged me. I mean, cussed me, swore at me. I ended up paying for their kid so that they could put lights up. I mean, it was a crazy thing. Christmas lights in somebody else's house because the pastor said, you know what? They're upset. Just help them. So I did. And what thanks did I get? I got cussed out again and sworn at again. And you know what? It was a great lesson for me. Because you know what I learned? Doing the right thing is right, no matter how someone treats you. And when you do the right thing, you show Christ. You want to be salty? Be Philemon. When someone wrongs you, be Philemon. Here's what he was asked. He was asked to forgive. Now, I'm sure Onesimus, when he came with the letters, I'm sure he asked for forgiveness. But he's asked to forgive. He's asked not just to forgive, but he's asked to restore, and not just restore, but restore to a greater position. He's asked to be generous. And Paul said, receive him like you would receive me. And then Paul says, get me a room ready. You know what that means? Yeah, I'm going to check on you. Yeah, I'm going to make sure you're doing this right. If you're putting a room together for Paul, have a room for Onesimus. Don't treat him wrong. Here's what's so big about Philemon. He allowed a friend to have a difficult discussion with him. I wonder how many of us are even open to the idea of someone bringing something difficult to us. Philemon had done nothing wrong. He was doing everything right. And many of us who would be in the position of Philemon would be angry with even the ask. And you may be the type of person who would get upset that you are written to when it was another person's fault. I mean, we have this letter written in the Bible, and it's all about Philemon, be nice. Philemon, receive him. Philemon, Philemon, Philemon. And Philemon could be like, what about Onesimus? You know what? God dealt with Onesimus. And if you are Philemon, and I'm sure there's some Philemons in here right now, you've been wronged. And you have every reason right now to be like, I'm mad, I'm upset. And so you know what God is saying to you, not me? I'm not smart enough to do this. This is what God is saying to you this morning. Forgive. Restore. Be generous. Allow other people to have the difficult discussion with you. The next person that we see is Paul. Paul is the one who led both of these men to the Lord, and he felt a spiritual responsibility for both. He stood up for a new believer. You know, we're afraid to do that sometimes. We're scared to do that sometimes because we're afraid of the fear of man, right? But the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of the Lord, though, is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And when I understand what God wants, I understand that sometimes I got to stand up for the person who doesn't know how to stand up for themselves. He spoke out to a mature believer. Everything we see about Philemon, I mean, the guy's opened up his house to the church. It seems to be a thriving church. When you read the book of Colossians, there are some good things going on. His testimony is above reproach. And Paul still says, I'm going to have the courage to speak out to this mature believer. He secured peace between brothers. All right, I'm looking at you. There are some here that you need to secure peace with you and your brother, with you and your sister, with you and your child. I'm going to try to act in the place of Paul. Secure peace. Find that peace. He set his own reputation on the line. If Onesimus goes back and steals again and causes trouble, that's Paul's reputation, right? And so a lot of us, we're not willing to put our reputation on the line for anybody. We live in a prove me. And you know what? There are times for that. Man, when it comes to restoring relationship and restoring fellowship, Paul put his own reputation on the line. But here's what happened. He had success in turning a slave into a brother. He says to Philemon, I know you'll do much more than I ask. Because I know the kind of guy you are, Philemon. So now let's close out with talking about Onesimus. He's the problem, right? He's the burr in everybody's saddle. He's the rock in everybody's shoe. He's the new believer who before salvation had stolen and fled, now is asked to return to his master's house and submit. And I'm sure when Paul said, you need to go back home, I'm sure Onesimus said, no, I want to stay with you. And he was useful to Paul. And Onesimus shows this incredible character. Can you really go home? Can you find it back home after you failed? Can you find forgiveness in the eyes of somebody when you've done wrong and you know it? And it's like, I got no defense. Here's what he had to do. He had to return. Where do you need to return? Come on, Onesimus. Where do you need to return? Who do you need to get back to? And he had to repent. Paul did not give him the option to stay. He said, you got to go. So what salty position are you in right now? Are you in Philemon's position, Paul's position? Are you in Onesimus' position? Which salty position do you need to take? Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads for a second. Lord God, there's a little bit of Onesimus in each one of us because we're all runaway slaves because we all are sinners. Lord, those who have found the gospel, have found Jesus Christ, have found forgiveness for their sin. So, Lord, I thank you that you have restored us. But now, Lord, we're talking about our individual, our personal lives. I pray for the Philemons right now. God, we have a big ask for them. Because right now, they haven't done anything wrong. They're not doing anything wrong. They're serving you faithfully. And right now, they're being asked to set themselves aside, set their own rightness aside and say, I am willing to find the peace. I'm willing to bring success in restoring brothers and sisters. I pray for the Philemons right now. I pray for the Pauls right now, Lord. Maybe there need to be some Pauls this morning that go and have some difficult conversations and say, you know what? you need to receive this brother or sister, or you need to go back. So, Lord, I pray that those conversations will take place. I pray for the Onesimuses. God, they're hurting. They don't really know how to come back. I pray that they would find open arms, not just in the arms of their Savior, but in the arms of their church family as well. If we could just keep our eyes closed for a couple seconds. I just want to really talk to God right now. I believe this book is in the Bible so that we could learn how to be salty people. So we can, this is real life. The world cannot do this. They can't because they don't have the power of Christ. We can do this. We have the power of Christ. So right now, if maybe you just need to pray and talk to God. Maybe you need to go pray and talk with somebody. You know, getting up out of your chair and going and kneeling with somebody, praying with them. Boy, that's awesome. There's no shame in that. There's renewal in that. And so if you're a Philemon or a Paul or a Onesimus, I'm just going to encourage you. We're not singing purposefully right now. We're sitting where we're at so that you can go and deal with something. So the invitation for you right now is maybe you got to go pick up the phone and get into a hallway where it's quiet and talk to somebody. It'll be a shame if we leave this morning and there hasn't been any returning or repenting. God help us.
God of Jacob.
bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, God, let this be a generation that seeks. Seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob.
God, we thank you so much that you give us this awesome example of Philemon and Onesimus. Thank you for Paul, that he was a man that was willing to be used by you. And God, help us this week, even today, help us to be salty. Help us to be different from this world. Help us to bring a healing and a help to those who need it. And I thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us to be this generation that lives at this time. And the world needs us. It needs each person here with the talents, the abilities, the gifts that you have given to them so that they can make an impact. And so, Lord, we all have opportunity. Help us to be bright, shining lights. Help us to be the preserving agent in the world around us. And so, Lord, to you, our great and mighty King, our Lord of Lords, the one whose name is lifted high above all names, to you be honor and glory and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.